preaching. Many of you had been down at the meeting at Endor several times during the days I was there. And I'm thankful that the Lord has worked it out and finally y'all listened to him. Just kidding. But I'm glad you invited me, and I have enjoyed it very much. And I pray that God will use the messages that I preach to be of some blessing to you. I thank you for the good offering you gave me, and more than I'm worth, especially for such a short meeting. Early in my ministry, I held a two-week meeting. They gave me $1.39, and Mama gave the dollar. And somebody said I was overpaid. But I appreciate the offering. The Lord has provided really amazing for us since I gave up Calvary Baptist Church and went off, didn't know what I had, went off and lived in another person's house, and Katie slept on a mattress on the floor, and we had to meet in the living room, and God has provided. Haven't missed a meal. Always had a place to sleep and something to wear and something to eat. God has provided. He uses His people in that, and I appreciate what you've done for me. I'm not too happy about men cooking a meal because I don't want to go home and start cooking. You're setting a bad example, and I done told my church about it, so I'm in trouble. I shouldn't have told anybody. But they'll probably use that on me now. Let me tell you a little story. I tell this story. I stop people on the street sometimes, tell them a story. Went to my pharmacist and told her that story. I'm 71 years old. I know that you have trouble believing that, but I'm telling you the truth. I've got my driver's license to prove it. So I can get a senior citizen discount when I go somewhere. I pull out my driver's license so they'll believe that I'm 71 years old. I was a twin. I was premature 7 months. I was born at home with none of the things they have in hospitals now, so much nowadays. And when I was born, the doctor laid me aside and said he won't live but a few minutes. And I've lived 71 years. The doctor gave me a few minutes, but God has given me 71 years. There's a time to be born. My time was 7 months instead of the usual 9 months. There's a time to die. And you're just not going to die until that time comes. You may think you're going to. You may want to. But you can't die until that time. It's marked out on the calendar of eternal predestination. And then when that time comes, you're going to leave this world. Of course, it really doesn't matter a whole lot how long you live, when you die, how you die. The thing that matters beyond all other things in life and time and eternity is where you go when you die. All right, that's my story. Some people look at me kind of funny when I tell them that story. I say it's in God's hands, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. My goodness, I won't have but 35 minutes to 10 o'clock. I may not get through. 11 o'clock. I may not get through it left. You got a short one or a long one? 2 Corinthians 8:5. Now, I maybe ought not preach a sermon. The last time I preached this sermon for a church that Ray Brown pastored, some of them got so angry with me and said, one man said I preached it right at him, and I don't know enough about the man to preach a sermon at him if I wanted to. And Ray left about 2 weeks later, I think, after that sermon. I hope it doesn't do that here. If it does, I may never preach it again. I don't know. I love Ray Brown, and I felt badly. And I was so glad when God opened the door here for him, because I felt hurt at the way he'd been done and how he passed the church all these years and now he's out. Now, I felt badly about that, and I prayed for him a whole lot. I love Ray Brown a long time. And I'm thankful that you took him in. He was a stranger, and you took him in, and God has blessed his work among you, and God's blessed the church under his leadership. And I pray he'll continue to bless you. Use Brother Brown here to his glory. But I preached this sermon there. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What's the first thing they did? They gave themselves to the Lord. Now, I preach to you on the subject, who or what is first in your life? Who's number one? What is the thing in life that means more to you than anything else? Who is the person that you love more than you love anybody else? They mean more to you, and they're more important to you than anybody else. And I can help you if you listen to me. You need to arrange your priorities properly. There is nothing in life more important than having your priorities in proper order. You've got to put the right thing first. Now, you can love this and this and this and give time to this and this and this, but you got to get it in the right order. You got to put it in the right order to avoid strain and stress and failure. You got to have it in the right order to have real peace, joy, blessedness, and usefulness. Now, you've just got to get the things you like, the things you do, the way you feel about things in right order. Who's number one? What's the first thing in your life and in your heart and in your doing? Are you first? That's the case with most people. What's in it for me? What do I want to do? What do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to go? Who do I want to marry? That's the important thing, is me. And that's the attitude of the unsaved people. And some professed Christians seem to have that attitude. I'm number one. I'm the most important person I know. I may have a different understanding of it than a lot of people. And maybe why I say what I'm about to say, I hate self-esteem. I abominate, abhor, and despise the self-esteem attitude of our day. I found in teaching school that some of the counselors wanted a child, didn't care how mean he was, didn't care what kind of grades he made, he's supposed to feel good about himself. You'll never get saved as long as you feel good about yourself and don't realize that you're a lost sinner deserving to go to hell. But anyway, putting self first, putting self ahead of God, putting self ahead of home, main thing I live for is myself. That's what I want to know. Is that who's first in your life? What are your desires? What are your plans? What are your purposes? What do you hope to do in life? And many, many times we decide by what it means to us and what it'll do for us. The Bible says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, you know what that means? That doesn't mean to give up cigarettes or give up pop or give up something for Lent. That means to say no to yourself. Deny means to say no. And you want something and you desire something and you really interest something? No. What does God want? You don't say, what do I want to do? You deny yourself. And you seek the will of God to find out what God would have you to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He will take care of the rest. Are you first in your life? Are your loved ones first? Now, we have more trouble with self than anything else, anybody else. I tell you, you get up and look in the mirror and you'll find your worst enemy in the Christian life. You'll find the thing that gives you more trouble in living for the Lord is self. But next, many times, it is family. This is the second more usual attitude people have. Are your children ahead of God? This happens so much among Christian people. They put their children ahead of God. They won't whip their children. They won't discipline their children. The children determine what kind of music's played in the home. The children determine what kind of clothes they wear. I've seen, well, down indoor, young girl come dressed horribly. But that's what she wanted. Mom and Daddy couldn't stop her or wouldn't stop her. Do your children come ahead of God? Are you afraid to go against the wish of your children? Do you allow your children to do what they want to do? And you don't exercise any control in the matter? I get my grandchildren upset with me. I tell them their daddy pays them for mowing the yard, and I tell them children are not supposed to be paid for doing work like that. I mowed my yard, my daddy's yard, and I was a grown married man. I wouldn't charge him for it. And one of my grandchildren said, well, they're supposed to pay. I said, do you pay board? Do you buy your clothes? Do you do all that? Why shouldn't you do a little something for mom and daddy without charging for it? It wasn't so bad when you get a yard mowed for 50 cents, but now that's getting pretty rough. But parents many times let their children run the roost. Now, you know I'm telling the truth that in many homes, the children rule the roost. And everything that takes place is determined. You know, many times the child rules the cook. When I was growing up, my mother never one time said, son, what would you like to have for breakfast? She put it on the table. She fixed what she wanted to do. She put it on the table and I ate it. I didn't know that a child had the right to say, I don't like that. I want something else. And I didn't know Mama had to fix three things or four things for breakfast so that she'd satisfy everybody. She just didn't work that way. Now, after I got grown and married and went to visit her, she'd ask me what I want to eat. But many, many places today, the menu is set by the children because they're putting their children ahead of God. Children come first in their life. Parents let children do things that they would have never done when they was a child. And many, many times they're putting their children ahead of God. I know of grown people who go to the church that their child wants to go to. They don't want to go there. They don't believe that that church is teaching, but to have something for the young people. I get so sick and tired of hearing that. They say, what do you have for the young people? I like what my boy Sam said. Dad said, we have the same thing we do for the old people, preaching to the Word of God. But now you got to have my grandson wanting to go to one of these charismatic churches because they had a game room. And during the service, the children could go in there and play these video games. Beloved friends, many times parents will give in and go to a church they don't believe in. I know a Sovereign Grace church that disbanded, and some of the people went to a Free Will Baptist church because they had a program for the children. You don't let the children decide what you have in your home, what you put on the table, what kind of clothes they wear, within reason, and where they go to church. And then they don't make them go to church. Oh, preacher, that's terrible. Make a child go to church. I've got two grandsons. I'll be in our church every Sunday. And most of the time, they're not there. And I try to explain to our daughter, you better make them go to church. Oh, make people go to church. I said, you make them go to school. You make them take a bath. You make them brush their teeth. You ought to make them go to church. As far as I'm concerned, a child is not old enough to make up its own mind about going to church as long as it lives with mom and daddy and sleeps in their bed and eats at their table and mom and dad takes care of. Our children lived at home. It was never a question. They went to church. But many times, the children come first. Children choose their own friends. I'll never forget, as a 12-year-old boy, I was running with a group of kids, and my mother said, son, said, they're bad children. Don't hang around with them. And I found out she was right, and I quit it. But you ought to know something about your children's friends. You ought to know something about your girl's boyfriend, your boy's girlfriend. You ought to find out some things about it, and you ought to have some say in the matter. I'm about ready to go back to the old time where the man picks out. Say, well, that'd be terrible. There wasn't as much divorce then as there is now. It seemed to work better. But I'm not going to push it that far. But I'll tell you, there's some people y'all say, now you just can't, you're through with that, man. That's the end of that. But people let their children come first. And grandparents, I'll tell you, grandparents, I'd be scared to death to talk about a grandchild. And mom and daddy might let me talk about their children, but grandparents, they are rough. And I try to just leave them alone. I tell people that Reggie Moore and Joe Wilson, the only grandparents that I know that have had, the rest of them are plumb crazy. But anyway, don't put it ahead of God. I have a preacher friend who gave up his church, moved to another town where he didn't have a church because his grandchildren were there. And I know some people in Ashland that were members of our church in Ashland, but they lived in Cincinnati. They left Ashland, moved up there to be close to their grandchildren. Now, love your grandchildren. Treat them right, but don't let them take the place of God and control your life. How about your husband or wife? I had a good member in a church one time. I loved him so dearly, but his wife wouldn't let him tie. His wife wouldn't let him tie. And I was married to her. I might just listen to her anyway. I might be afraid not to listen to her. But he couldn't tie. They was going to put him in as a deacon. I said, you can't be a deacon unless you tie. And he said he'd start tying. And I don't know if he finally did or not. But I know his wife was really down on him when he wanted to tie. Your husband doesn't come first. Your wife doesn't come first. Who's first in your life? Well, the Bible says, if a man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, and on, he cannot be my disciple. Now, of course, you don't really hate them, but you love God so much more. That sometimes, because you won't do what they want you to, they'll say, you just hate me. No, you don't hate them. You love them dearly, but you love God more. Now, what about money and material possessions? Some people put that first. First thing in their life, the most important thing in their life is to make a lot of money and have a lot of material things. Now, there are multitudes like that. Make a lot of money. You know why we have Christmas? Money. People say the reason for Christmas, the birth of Christ. Christmas had nothing to do with the birth of Christ. The reason for Christmas is the merchant's desire for money. And they push it like that. I've worked at Western Auto. I made more money Christmas Eve than I made the whole month of January. People put material things ahead of the Lord. I've known people to quit a fairly decent job and go to work in a beer down in Winston-Salem. They opened a brewery. And a lot of people quit their jobs and went to the breweries so they can make more money. Many, many people, money is the main thing in their life. Their God is the dollar mark. Their God is not the God of the Bible, but their God is that dollar mark. The Bible says in Matthew 13:22, that some of the seed fell among thorns. And they choked the seed and said, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the seed. You get all wrapped up in money and it'll choke your spiritual life. You will either prove you're not saved or you'll become so unspiritual and unfaithful and not serving God. If you let this money choke you, if it could, it would destroy the spiritual life. It can't do that. Did you hear about the fellow that was kind of poor and in financial difficulty and had the preacher come out and see him and had the preacher pray for him about finances, and the preacher preached tithing to him. Said that if you start tithing, God will treat you, your finances will be better. Well, he did.
And sure enough, he was blessed and blessed and blessed. And finally one day he called a preacher and said, "Preacher, I'm making so much money now, I can't afford it." So the preacher said, "Let's pray." And he got down and said, "The Lord, take away some of the money this man's making so that he can afford the time." He said, "Well, I didn't want you to pray like that." He said, "Well, that's the way I'm praying." You know why people don't tithe? They want it for themselves. It's not because, well, now I don't believe in tithe. That's not so. It's because they're covetous. I had a friend who owned a real estate office. Owned it. His own real estate office. He wouldn't tithe. And I talked to him. I held a meeting for him. He's a preacher. You tithe, don't you? I can't imagine a pastor church not tithe. But he wouldn't tithe, and he taught the people against tithe. And I told him, "I know why you don't tithe. You own a real estate company. If you just had a little job, about $67 a week, you could tithe. But you just don't want to give all that much money to the Lord. The Lord gives you that much. But if you didn't make much, you'd give him $5 a week or so. But you make so much, you don't want to give that much to the Lord. But he gave it to you. Why don't you want to give that much to the Lord?" Because people are covetous. And you know what the Bible says about a covetous man? I was shocked one day. I read it. Covetousness, which is idolatry. No difference at all between covetousness and idolatry. The idol of a covetous man is money, and the idol of some people is a different thing. But is money first in your life? Say, "Well, a man's got to live." No! No, man not got to live. He got to die and meet God. Not got to live. You better be prepared. You better not worry about how you're going to live and figure out and think about how you're going to die. You're going to go to be with the Lord and you die. My goodness, what difference does it make how much you got when you're dead and your body's in the grave and your soul's in eternity? Somebody asked about a rich man who died, said, "How much did he leave?" And somebody answered, "All of it." You're going to die poor life. Right. We brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of this world. Now, it's good to have it. I think we ought to do the best we can, but we ought not to put it ahead of God. We ought not to let it interfere with serving God and living for God and giving to God. What's first in your life? Now, who should be? I've asked about some things. Are they first in your life? Now I want to ask the question, who should be first in your life? Who do you think? Tell me now, who do you think ought to be first in your life? Well, I'm going to answer that the Lord should be first in your life. You should think about, you should love the Lord more than you love anybody in this world. You should love the Lord and desire to please the Lord more than any other person. Now, I try to please Katie. She can make it hard for me if I don't please her. But I try to I want to please the Lord first. It won't displease Katie, I'm sure. For me, she would tell me, "Please the Lord first." My dear friend, I want to know now that I'm saying to you that the Lord ought to be number one in your life. You ought to love Him more than you love anybody else or anything else. He ought to mean more to you. You ought to try to find out what He wants you to do. You ought to do what He tells you to do. You ought to try to please Him from day to day to day, all the days of your life. You ought to try to walk and live and serve in a way that God can say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Brother Brown, I'm afraid we all have some church members that we wonder if they're going to hear that. When it's all over down here, have you done what you ought to do so that God will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? The Lord ought to be first because of who He is. He is the only true God. To put anything or anyone ahead of God is idolatry.
And idolatry is the number one sin, I think, in the Bible. I think it's mentioned more, and God speaks more against it than any other sin in the Bible. Idolatry. And idolatry is, you're an idolater if you put anything or anybody ahead of God in your life. That's idolatry. You're making an idol God out of that person, out of that thing. That's one reason women ought to not, a saved woman ought not to marry an unsaved man or vice versa. Because there'll be a hindrance to you in serving God. And you need to serve God. And I've known women who stay out of church. I know a woman now, and I thought she'd come to church every Sunday. I never been in that church. I didn't see her. I preached there many times. I went down the reason. I found out she didn't come hardly ever on Sunday night and women night. I said, well, what'd she say? Because her husband's unsaved, don't want her to go that night. I've seen that again and again and again. And that's idolatry. That's putting something ahead of God and ahead. And let me say this to you. You put something ahead of the church, you're putting it ahead of God.
Amen.
The church was established by God as the place and way in which you show your love for God. Don't you dare sit home and say, I can be a good Christian home to can't church. That's a lie. Not a word of truth. When you can go to church, I believe there are some people who do not have a sound church to attend or physically unable to go to church. I believe God blesses them in special ways. But people who just lay out of church, I visit a man in Appalachia. I don't guess you know it. The Lord used me and made profession under my preaching there. And I went back to visit there and preach, and he tried to get him to come to church, and Sunday night, he had to stay home and watch color TV. He was bragging about his color TV. I said, Cordell, you stole God's money and bought your color TV, and you lay out of church to watch your color TV. Isn't that awful? He stole God's money. He didn't tithe. You know, if you don't tithe, you'll steal it. You'll thief. He stole God's money, bought him a color TV with God's money. He didn't pray about that and said, oh God, I need a color TV so bad. Would you like me to use this money to buy a color TV? He didn't do that. He pleased himself. And then he would stay at home, and I don't know if they got him back in church yet or not. He was out for an awful long time. You got to put God first in your life instead of these other things. He's the only true God. Now, you ought to put God first. Now, listen to this. It's just right. You ought to put God first because of what God does for you. I had a lady cleaning up the church in Ashland, Kentucky. Her little boy. Women don't put up with stuff like that. I heard her little boy say, Mama, I hate you. And I was in the auditorium, I went running out there, and I said, did you hear what that boy said? Aren't you going to do something about it? She said, well, he learned it from the girl, the older girl. I said, well, why do you put up with your children telling you they hate you? But you know, if a boy don't love anybody else humanly, I'll love his mom. I have a lot of respect for my dad. I didn't care much about my dad. I hate to say that. My dad left me when I left home like 10 years old, went off with another woman, and it's me and Mom. But I love Mom. And I wouldn't say, Mom, I hate you. I wouldn't try to hurt Mama like that. You shouldn't. It's awful thing. A woman that goes down into the valley to bring forth a child and then take care of it. Oh, how they take care of it and weep over it and work with it and do everything they can for it. And the child goes up to them, Mama, I hate you. Isn't that a terrible thing? Well, it's even more so with God. God does everything for it. For everybody. For the unsaved. God gives life. God sustains life. And man ought to give God some glory.
Amen.
He say he keeps that man alive. The breath that a man uses to take God's name in vain, God gave him that breath.
That's right.
If it wasn't for God, he wouldn't breathe another. He'd choke and would never say another word in this life.
God takes care of him. God has compassion on him. God protects and provides, and the unsaved man will curse and lie and steal and drink and all kinds of things. And all the time he's doing it, God is blessing him. God's taking care of him. God's letting him live. You ought to put God first because of what he does for you and save people. Oh, we ought to put God. I ought not have to preach like this to save people. It ought to just come natural for a saved person to put God first in his life.
Right. Amen.
What did he do for you? From heaven to this world. And he lived in a world that hated him for about 33 some years. They tried to kill him several times. He said, for which of these good works have men? They killed him. And they killed him a terrible. The crucifixion was one of the worst ways they had then for a person to die. And the Lord Jesus came the night before Calvary. He came to Gethsemane and said, Father, if there be any other way, save me from this hour. Thy will be done. I'm willing to go through it. And then the next day he allowed men to take him. I said he allowed men to take him. If he hadn't wanted them to take him, they couldn't have done a thing.
Amen.
He said, the power, you can't do nothing against me. But he allowed them to take him and nail him to Calvary. And there he bared his soul to the wrath of God. It wasn't just what men did to Christ that saved us. It's what the Father did. It wasn't just the physical pain. The Bible said his soul was made an offering for sin. Jesus Christ suffered more than anyone else will ever suffer. If you go to hell, you'll suffer for your sins. But Jesus suffered for the sins of multiplied millions. Everybody who goes to heaven goes there because Jesus paid the bill. Jesus said to the Father, how much they owe? Add it up. And it was a staggering total. All the guilt of all the sins of all the elect of all ages was laid on him. And God pulled out the sword of his justice and plunged it into the soul of his own darling son. And Jesus was willing to do that. He was gladly willing to do that for your salvation. What can we do for him? I've had people say, you preacher, you expect too much. I had a man make professions come to church about once every 2 weeks, and I went and visited him, tried to get him to come to church. He said, preacher, you expect too much. I said, you better not worry about what the preachers expect. You better start thinking about what God expects. Why should it be too hard to go to church regularly and give you time and live right? Be what you ought to be when Jesus died to keep you out of hell. Preacher said, somebody told him, he said, preacher, you're making a lot of sacrifice to serve the Lord. He said, there ain't never been but one sacrifice, and Jesus made that. All right, we ought to put God first because of what he's done for us. And then we ought to put God first because he's the one we got to answer to. Lady called me up one Sunday morning and said, be all right if I go see my mother this morning instead of coming to church. I said, you better call God. You better find out from God. I can't do anything about it. I can tell you no and you'll do what you want to anyway. You better find out from God. But beloved friends, we have to answer to God. When you get by the preacher, poor preacher, feel sorry for a preacher. A preacher's got a job to do. And he is the overseer over a group of people. And he's supposed to lead them in doing the job they're supposed to do, but he can't make them do it. If they want to do it all right, they don't want to do it, nothing the preacher can do. He can sit there and suffer and go home and stay awake during the night crying and praying, but if the people won't do what he tells them under God's leadership to do, nothing he can do about it. But When you get by the preacher, you've got to face God. And we ought to be put God first because of that. Now let me say a few more things to you. That if I've asked you who's first in your life, I've told you that God ought to be first in your life. Now I'm telling you, if the Lord is first in your life, you will live clean, pure, holy, separated life. People don't live right because they don't put God first. They put pleasure, fleshly pleasure, or other things first. But when a man puts God first in his life, it will affect the way he lives. And he'll endeavor and he'll pray and say, God, help me. I want to do the right thing. And he will live a clean, holy, dedicated, separated life in this wicked world in which we are. There are places he won't go. There are things he won't do. And he'll be laughed at and made fun of and mocked. And people will ridicule him, criticize him. But as long as his Heavenly Father is pleased, that's all right with him. If the Lord is first in your life, your service will be diligent, faithful, and continuous. Your service of God. You'll diligently serve the Lord. You'll faithfully serve the Lord, and you'll just keep on serving the Lord. If you live another 10 years, you'll be serving God. If you live another 20 years, you'll be serving God. If God is first in your life. If God is first in your life, the Bible will mean much to you. You know, I've had Christian people tell me, I don't read the Bible, I can't understand the Bible. Well, that's just not so. You may not understand everything in the Bible, but most of this Bible is so clear and so plain that any saved person can just read it and believe it and understand it and live according to it. It's not all. You don't have to know Hebrew. You don't have to know Greek. Just know God. And live for God and put God first in your life. And you can get something out. Don't tell me you can't get anything out of mine. Don't you dare tell me that. And I don't have time to read the Bible. That's a lie. I learned a long time ago that people have time to do, in the mean, what they want to do. I've had people that didn't have time to pray, didn't have time to read the Bible, but they had time to watch TV 3 or 4 hours a night. They had time to get on the phone and talk for an hour or two during the day. They had time to read the newspaper, and they didn't have time to read the Bible. Talk to God. So if you put God first in your life, you'll find time to read His book. Oh, I love the Word of God. This year, I'm going to read the first 13 books of the Bible twice. I'm going to read Psalm and Proverbs 12 times. I'm going to read the rest of the Bible one time. And I've been reading the Bible through every year, and Proverbs and Psalms once every month for years now. And I still get a blessing out of it. It doesn't grow old. You ever see a TV program and you see a rerun? You say, well, ain't much to that. You don't enjoy too many reruns, but here's a rerun. The more you read it, the more you study it, the more you get out of it, and the more you learn about it. Let me say this to you. I've got to hurry. Whew. If you put God first in your life, you'll treat your pastor right. And I believe you do now. I'm just preaching. This is just so. I had a woman in Gladwin. I preached on women. And she said, you just don't think we women in our place. Well, I said, listen, I preach on tithing, everybody here tithing. I preach on election, everybody here believes in election. I can't just preach what somebody here may not believe. I preach it all. And I said, I believe you women are fine women and you're in your place. So I don't mean that I'm criticizing you. I believe you treat your pastor good. I'll tell you one thing. This man, and God gets the glory there, but this man deserves some good treatment. This man's been through the mill. He's been on the other side of the fence. He's been with people that almost hated him. Couldn't wait to get rid of him. treat him good. If you put God first, you'll treat your pastor good. You'll give him good according to what you make. You'll love him. You'll pray for him. You will listen to him respectfully. And unless he says something that just isn't according to the Word of God, you'll probably do what he says. A man who causes the preacher so much trouble is a man that doesn't put God first. You count on that. You put God first, God will move in your soul to love the preacher. You don't know how much a preacher goes through. I'll tell you, if it wasn't that God made me a preacher, called me to be a preacher, and I can't quit preaching. I just tend to preach. And I'll tell you, it's a whole lot easier to carry mail. I used to be a mail carrier. I used to work in a company. Man, that's hard work. You coal miners don't know what. I worked in the cotton mill for 42 and a half cents. I worked 48 hours, made $22.50. I didn't get a paid holiday. I didn't get a 6 day pay. I didn't get anything. But that's not as hard as being a poor, persecuted, ridiculed, hated preacher. The grace of man, many preachers have had broken hearts because of the way their people treat them. So you put God first, treat your preacher right. And I've got a couple more things. I'm going to let you go. To put God first in your life, your church. Because I don't like to hear about a church. Well, you're going to hear about it from me, and you'll probably hear about it from Ray and a lot of these other people who'll tell you about the church. Man that doesn't have love for and interest in and respect for the church. I'm talking about true church. That man not putting God first in his life. The church was put here by God as the way for you to show your love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And a man can't say, well, I love the Lord, but I don't care anything about the church. I can be as good a Christian home as I can at church. And all that stuff. Instead of listening to somebody on TV, you better not listen to many people on TV. If you want to watch TV, you better watch some program, some Western or some ball game. You better not watch the preachers on TV. You won't get too much out of TV preachers. Shout, you got it once in a while. I live in Tasmania. I live in the capital of Tasmania. And I see a lot of them on TV. I see Paul Jane Crouch. I thought Jane Crouch was Tammy Baker Jr. But I see them. And old Jane Crouch, she's the way she got started. She had a sick chicken. She prayed for it, and God healed her chicken. And that's how she got started. I hear junk like that, but you don't hear much real preaching of the truth of the Word of God on television. That's just something. Your church. Be a member of a good, sound church. And a church not only talks it, but walks it. A church where, I've been in Sovereign Grace Church, and they wouldn't want you to preach Sovereign Grace. So we got some visitors here tonight, and it would hurt their feelings you preach that old Sovereign Grace. Well, if you don't preach it, where are they going to hear it? They're not going to go back over yonder. Lady told me in Ashland, Kentucky, so I've got some friends. I'd like to bring in the church for me, but I'm afraid of what they hear. You believe that? Stood right in my face and told me that. And I said, well, lady, they'll hear Bible truth and Baptist truth. I guarantee you that's all they'll ever hear. Bible truth, Baptist truth.
Amen.
But she's afraid of what I hear. She said, you use the word heresy too much. And they jumped on me about abortion, preach against abortion. And they said, if I had a homosexual friend at church with me, he'd be offended at your preaching. I said, I hope so. I tell you, if he wasn't offended, I'd have to do some confession, wonder where I went wrong. We need to offend people who are living wrong and not serving God. And either they'll repent and get right with God, or whatever. You'll be faithful in your church, you'll tithe in your church, you'll pray for your church, you'll work for God any way you can in your church. I plead with you now, as I come to a close, who's first in your life? Put God first. Put God first for blessings. smile of her happy Christian. Put on for her. And you'll be happy, and the joy bells will be ringing, and you'll be rejoicing. You'll probably act like Ray. I don't know what Ray's going to do when I go. He said he wasn't going to run and jump, but I wasn't too sure. Brother, I like to see people happy in the Lord. Are you a happy Christian? Are you rejoicing in this? God first. Put God first for blessings from the Lord. Put God first for your influence upon others. Sometimes the greatest hindrance in people trying to reach the gospel, reach lost people with the gospel, is the lives of some church members they know. That's sad. I visited a woman, talked to her about the Lord. Her husband, remember our church. She said, if he's a Christian, I don't want him. Isn't that awful? If you want to be a blessing to your lost loved ones, put God first in your life. So that he might work through your life and reach them. And then for rewards, who's going to be rewarded? People who put God first in their lives, they're the ones that are going to have rich rewards to come to the Lord. And then for the glory of God. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God. You can't glorify God by making him second rate in your life. You've got to put him first.
Psalm 321.